This is Too Risqué for Radio, the podcast.
And here is an email. She says, or he says, Dr. Berman, I wish not to share my name due to the nature of this relationship. The background. I was in a monogamous relationship for 20 years until my partner left me for a much younger guy. I was deeply in love with this great man. And as of today, he's my best friend. He was my first gay relationship and partner. I didn't know or suspected about his infidelity until by accident I found some pictures of the other guy. I was single and successful and I think good-looking and educated and intelligent, but I was missing that special person in my life, and finally I found a guy after 4 years of living alone. Unfortunately, I didn't know anything about drugs or random sex. I tried several times to end this relationship and help him out of his drug sex addiction until he finally left me for a drug dealer. This was so painful. I lost my job, my savings. He used my credit cards, signed checks without my authorization. I was so ashamed and embarrassed of how he treated me and abused me that I accepted. I was feeling hopeless. He used to say that I deserved it, that I did it to myself, that I needed to be humbled. I was with him for 3 years, and he rarely worked while I was working 16-hour days. He treated me to expose my sexuality and tell false stories about me to my friends and neighbors. Currently, I'm in therapy, and I've made enormous progress. I'm not scared anymore. I haven't had panic attacks and the depression I had before. I'm not into drugs, alcohol, or random sex. I try not to take any foreign substances into my body. I'm afraid of getting addicted. My questions are, 1, how can I stop loving this person and feeling responsible for him? And 2, should I take any legal action even though I know he doesn't have a job? I don't want to push him to do porn, which he's done before, or prostitution that he's also done before. 3, is it possible for him to get out of his addictions? I'm 43, he's 34. Yeah, Mike, you got some major issues here, my friend. No, do not try to rescue him. Get your butt into some codependent treatment ASAP. You got a bad, bad, bad case of codependency. And what that means is that you will enable people who are toxic and who don't treat you well, and you will drink their Kool-Aid they're serving you about how you deserve it and how it's your fault and how you need to be humbled or how you brought this on yourself, and you start to believe it. That was an abusive relationship. And when you're in a relationship, when anyone is in a relationship with an addict, an active addict, not an addict in active recovery, but an active addict, the addiction, the substances to which they are addicted, is the only thing they care about, is the only thing they love. It comes above all else. So the fact that he left you for a drug dealer is exactly what you would expect, because, you know, that guy could give the drugs to him. It is not about you. And you're walking around in the world feeling like somehow it's your lack of lovability that caused both of these men to bail on you the way that they did. And that's just not true. The problem is you're codependent. And when someone is codependent, they are going to be attracted to and attract in people who are going to be codependent with them. Other codependents and addicts and abusers. That is what codependents attract. And until you address that issue in your therapy, and I love that you're in therapy, but until you start really looking at the codependents and really learning to trust your own judgment and get access to your own intuition and become your own best friend and realize that you don't need anyone else to be okay in the world and to be happy with yourself and to be centered with yourself and to really find your own joy within yourself, until you do that, you're going to keep attracting these losers. So do not try to reform the addict. Do not try to convince him to stay with you. And if you can afford it, do not get involved with him in any legal action either, if you don't desperately need that money back from him. And even then, it's going to be a long shot. But you are not responsible for him or his actions or any of the choices he made. Nobody shoved those drugs into his system or up his nose. He did that to himself. So stop that. Go to some CODA meetings, get yourself into therapy for codependence, and then call me back and let's talk about dating. But don't date until you try that, okay? Good luck. You can email too if you have a question at questions@uncoveredradio.com.
This is Too Risqué for Radio, the podcast.
Here's an email question from Terry. Dr. Berman, my wife is 10 years younger than I am. She's 35. I'm 45. When we first got together, I was the one who always initiated sex. I always felt like the horn dog and she obliged. But I feel that sometimes it was begrudgingly. Now the tables are turned. It seems that every time we're alone together, she wants to pounce on me. She's also starting to want to play more and explore with toys and whatnot. I'm not saying I mind it. I just don't understand the shift. Is this a hormonal thing? This has been going on for the past few months. It's like she's insatiable. Luckily, I still have stamina to do it all, but what happens if I lose that? Then what will I do? Some of my friends think it might be because she's fantasizing about someone else, but I know that isn't it. I think she's just now the horn dog. Does that happen to women in their 30s? Yeah, Terry, it often happens to women in their 30s, and part of it's not really so much hormonal as it is because ironically, by the time she's 35, her hormones are starting to diminish. So the good news for you is if you're worried about running out of stamina, she's going to run out of stamina too. So don't worry about that. But I find that women often get a surge in desire and much more adventurous in the bedroom in their mid to late 30s because they are more comfortable with themselves. They're settled into their life. They're settled into their relationship. They have less to prove. They're less self-conscious. They're more comfortable asking for what they want. They're less shy. And so all of that lends itself to a more exciting sex life and more interest in sex and more desire to explore sex. So maybe it's a hormonal thing, but I would think it would be less a hormonal thing and more a developmental thing that seems to happen to women. So just enjoy the ride and don't think too much into it and just enjoy the connection and feed her in this way as much as possible. And my guess is in the next 4 or 5 years, she's going to be slowing down as well. And you guys will probably be pretty well matched. So good for you for keeping up, Terry, and enjoy the ride. You can email, too, if you have a question on Too Risqué for Radio at questions@uncoveredradio.com.
This is Too Risqué for Radio, the podcast.
Dr. Berman, I desperately need your help. My only connection with you would be email. Anxiety has been with me all my life. It stemmed from my anxious mother. Being third in the family, I was pushed away. I left home at 16, had to rely on myself. During my more stressful times, I would stare at women's breasts and men's crotches unconsciously. It would come on unexpectedly, and I had no control. I'm now in a calmer space. It's created a dysfunctional relationship with my only son and daughter-in-law. I have a 3-year-old granddaughter I can't see. I'm 74 years old. Sex was not good in both marriages. There was no communication. Masturbation was taboo, and you just didn't do it. Your husband satisfies you. Good girls don't wear clothing that reveals, no showing your breasts, legs entice men. My son needs to know that there was nothing more than me just staring unconsciously due to my own emotional needs being unfulfilled. I need to work on my self-worth. There are times I wish I could remove this sexual urge at my age. In my sexual relationships, I was never relaxed. I hope that you can guide me as to what I can do to feel free and just enjoy being a senior and a grandmother. Yeah, it sounds like you've had a lifetime of disconnect and an inability to feel grounded in your own self. And what happens with uncontrollable sexual urges like that, and I think you hit the nail on the head when you say that it was during times that you felt extremely unmoored, ungrounded, and anxious. And that is typical. That's typical with people who identify as sex addicts or think they may be sex addicts, that is when the behaviors they can't control happen, is when they're feeling anxious or they're feeling empty and depressed and feeling that void taking them over and they're trying to fill themselves up somehow. And that's a version of what you've been doing too. I don't know how your son even knows about your crotch and breast gazing, but I think there are a couple of things you can do. One is that you definitely should be in cognitive behavioral therapy or EMDR, which is another kind of therapy for addictions and anxiety, for sure. There's an anxiety issue here, which I know you know. And that is at the core of it. And as you see that therapist, ask them to evaluate you for sexual addiction and also for any kind of, you know, inappropriate sexual activity, like to make sure that you're not a risk to your children or to anyone or your grandchildren or anyone else. And eventually you can get a letter from your therapist or your doctor attesting to the fact that you are not a risk and that they've done a full evaluation on you and that these are the things that you are doing to deal with your anxiety, but that your symptoms have never been a risk to anyone sexually and are really not sexual in nature, because it's really not about sex. It's about wanting to feel loved and needing love to feel grounded. And what your work in the world is beyond that is to figure out, maybe for the first time in your entire life, given your childhood history, how to ground yourself in yourself, of yourself, with yourself, not around anyone else's love for you, not around anyone else reflecting back to you your worth, not around anyone else needing to accept you, that you learn to accept yourself fully and completely and wholly and internalizing that for yourself. And you never really had an opportunity to do that if you were rejected a lot growing up, because that's how most kids get to that point. But if you were unmoored and ungrounded your whole life, now is the time to get there. And you do that with therapy. You do that with personal exploration and personal growth. So that's your work in the world. And my guess is you can probably help a lot of other people too, once you master that, because there's so many people in the world that are hurting and have had similar histories to you, and you can really be a beacon for them. And maybe that's a part of how you're supposed to live your senior years too, giving back in some way with all you will have learned. So get to work on that and keep me posted. And you email too if you have a question to questions@uncoveredradio.com.
Follow Dr. Berman on Twitter and Facebook @Dr. Laura Berman.